Let us continue in worship as we listen to the word of God as it comes to us, first from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And from the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus say, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We can't have missed all the stories and news and sales on candy leading up to Halloween this week. But some Christians may remember that yesterday was also an anniversary. The anniversary of what has been known as the start of the Protestant Reformation. On October 31st in 1517, Martin Luther challenged the Roman Catholic Church's theology of salvation and sacraments at the time, nailing 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral, initiating the religious movement that became known as the Protestant Revolution. Which makes today, I believe, a good time to ask ourselves, why am I still a Protestant, and more in particular, why am I a Presbyterian? And I'm going to share with you my answer of what I appreciate about our common faith. First of all, I do know that God is big. Big in the sense of sovereign. Big in the sense, as Psalm 139 says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high, I cannot attain it." John Calvin, who is a spiritual ancestor of Presbyterians in particular, thought this was among the most important messages of Scripture. And we still think so. God is God, and we are not. Since no one person or church or doctrine can capture all that God is, we admit our own limitations and shortcomings within the Reformed tradition, and we encourage people never to stop growing and stop learning about God and faith or anything else. And that leads us to the fact that a second major underpinning is that we know that grace and forgiveness are both necessary and real. The Reformation stressed we are saved by grace alone. It comes as a gift from God through Jesus Christ by those who profess their faith. We don't earn our way to it. We just have to admit our need, ask for forgiveness, and trust in Christ. Presbyterians also know, both from Scripture and from tough experience, that In the same verse that Susan quoted earlier, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. With other Reformed churches, therefore, we acknowledge our faults, our imperfections, and we trust in God to increasingly reform us to become better selves and to live more fully into the person whom God created us to be in Christ. We do it as individuals and we do it in groups. Third point, because God is big, because grace is real, because once we repent honestly, we are helped to become more Christ-like. We admit that we have a lot to learn, which is one reason there are 10 Presbyterian seminaries in the United States, 65 Presbyterian Church USA-related colleges and universities in this country. Why? Goes back to our belief that since God is sovereign, we must admit that we'll never know all there is to know of God and God's creation. Therefore, we should be lifelong learners exposed to the depths of tradition and then given the tools to interpret not only Scripture, but interpret ourselves as congregations and interpret the world in which we live as we grow in knowledge. John Calvin said Christians should never fear knowledge, no matter where it comes from, because any time we learn more of the truth about this world, we are learning more about our God. And you will rarely find a Presbyterian dismissing knowledge or science or running from an insight simply because it might stretch their understandings. Now, because we all come together out of our partial knowledge, and we all have a tendency to believe that we're right, Presbyterians, when they get into the groups to share their opinions, can, disagree quite a bit. It's been said that if you have 5 Presbyterians in a room, you can end up with 10 different opinions. And we spend a lot of time in groups talking about what it means to follow Christ. And sometimes those conversations get heated. But we spend a comparable amount of time making sure all voices are heard and perspectives are honored. At least we try to. Presbyterianism emerged at the time of the Christian wars in Europe, known as the Reformation, and having survived the rabid violence that erupted among all those who claimed to believe in Christ, but you better believe my way. The first Presbyterians created ways that they hoped would allow people who disagreed to come together and learn from one another peacefully. Therefore, we value our church constitution, the Book of Order, and if you've been around dyed-in-the-wool Presbyterians long enough, you've heard people refer to it almost in voices either of awe or sometimes derision. It may seem like a lot of rules, but they aren't there just to tell us what not to do. A pastor, Wally Armbruster, once wrote that bridges look a lot like fences. They, go across things and often have beams coming down through them, but they're just the opposite. Fences mark boundaries, and our Book of Order does mark some boundaries. But bridges are what help people cross between two places marked by a divide. And in the same way, our constitution and way of being together is designed to help people cross divides in opinion and come together in decisions that best honor the will of God. Decision making can be sometimes messy, sometimes slow, and everybody spends their share of time complaining about how long committee meetings run. But we have decided as a group that we'll take messy and slow if it means honoring all the people of God in their rich diversity. And we realize that diversity extends beyond the relatively small boundaries of our congregation and even our denomination. Which means that even in the wider world, we think it's important to play well with others. And from this fact and the knowledge that God is bigger than just individuals and also bigger than human groups, Presbyterians recognize that no one group knows the mind of God either. Humble Presbyterians acknowledge this, and therefore, as a denomination, Presbyterians have been among the forefront of Christian ecumenical dialogue, and as the world has shrunk, even interfaith engagement. Because we see ourselves as part of a much larger body of faith, and we have much to learn from one another. Next point is that we realize that when group becomes so central, and when community is a key, when differences are to be honored, therefore justice rises to a high priority. And Presbyterians knew this from our beginning, since the Bible teaches that God is love, and love at work in community is justice. Strikes me as interesting that those who followed the teaching of the new reform movement didn't become known simply as reformists, rather the name that stuck was Protestant. Luther and his associates were protesters as well as reformers, and they stood up against conventions of the day, arguing on behalf of those suffering under religious and social oppression. And the original Protestants preached, taught, and argued for freedom, spiritual, economic, and political, and for God's justice to be embodied in the church and in the world. It's not by chance that when the colonies broke from England, that it's reported that George III named it that Presbyterian War. Because striving for justice in the public square is imperative when community is key. We say we're reformed, and always reforming, we look not just to the past for how we have done things, but we also seek to learn and share God's will, Christ's mission, and our calling in the world today, and communicate those things in ways that are understood and shared by people today. The service today is an example of that. We are streaming in three different ways this morning because we realize that we need to always reform our ways to increase our ability to connect to people and to share the faith. I believe that the world needs our Presbyterian style of witness. Jonathan Sacks, a rabbi and a teacher, says that in our world today, we no longer broadcast, we narrowcast. And it's possible to construct our world in such a way that we can go through it without ever encountering an alternative point of view. When you look at religion, it can be much the same as we say about our politics these days. Denominations often splinter into churches of the like-minded, and people run from church to church looking for places that fit their sense of what church should be. The world and the universal church both, I believe, benefit from seeing a group of people who know how, or at least say they want to stay together when they do not always agree. A group of people who believe at the core of their faith they will never know all of God there is to know, and therefore refuse to be narrowcast and remain lifelong learners. The Presbyterian Church USA doesn't do this perfectly. We'll go back to that point about all being sinners and falling short of the glory of God. But it does try to be this kind of witness in a world that needs it. And at our best, we seek to defy the easy categories that faithful often divide themselves into: liberal, conservative, traditional, contemporary, mainstream, or evangelical. I believe the world needs us, for we are heirs of those who once took to the streets to witness to God's reign here on earth. These Presbyterian practices, I believe, are gifts from God to our world that has helped individuals and communities thrive. By knowing no one person knows it all, grace and forgiveness are given to us. Grace and forgiveness are then extended by us. Communities we know are crucial because we can't know it all ourselves or do it alone. And we know that change is inevitable, that God will lead us forward. That's why I'm still a Presbyterian. Because my primary identity, I know, is that of a child of God, a God who is so much bigger than the categories we sometimes seek to impose. I'd like to think that if Presbyterianism disappeared, we would just have to invent it again. So far better to champion it now. Amen.